Okay, good morning. I'd like to start out this morning with the information that is most important, and that is the status of the victim in yesterday's shooting. We cannot release the victim's name at this time. We are still in the process of obtaining a formal statement from him. We hope to have that statement later today. So, you know, we cannot release the name or the make the identity of a witness known. I can tell you he's a 53-year-old resident of Cheektowaga, and that we can confirm that he was hit by a single shot of gunfire. Miraculously, this wound was minor in nature. He was released from the hospital last night, and he is now home with family. So that's the good news. I can also now confirm reports that we did, in fact, have a couple civilian heroes yesterday who played a crucial role in stopping the attack and assisting in the apprehension. I hope to meet with these brave citizens later today and thank them for their actions. There is no question, these individuals saved lives yesterday. They are heroes. I can't release their names at this time until I receive their permission. Their identities will become known soon, and they deserve our community's gratitude. Travis Green was arraigned in town court this morning. He has been charged with attempted murder in the second degree, B felony, criminal use of a firearm, first degree, B felony, reckless endangerment in the first degree, a D felony, assault in the second degree, a D felony, unlawfully wearing body armor, that's an E felony, and resisting arrest, which is an A misdemeanor. Further charges related to the New York State Safe Act are being researched. He is now being held without bail. Green has had previous contact with the Cheektowaga Police Department. All of these incidents were very minor in nature. His last known contact with us was in 2013. He was not someone we were familiar with or that we had repeated encounters with. As of yet, we have still not established motives for his actions. However, I believe we would be safe in ruling out terrorism. The FBI is currently researching his background, so of course that may change. A total of 20 spent casings have been recovered from the scene thus far. 850 additional live rounds were recovered from the vehicle and loaded magazines. The ATF is currently researching the background of the weapons recovered. Yesterday, I stated we felt additional weapons may have been in the vehicle Green was believed to be operating. There were none. Green was injured yesterday. His injuries were also minor in nature, and we still are not certain whether they occurred prior to or during his apprehension. There was video recorded of the incident itself and the aftermath. Obviously, we can't show any video that would jeopardize the integrity of the investigation, but I do believe we have some live shots yesterday from an in-car camera that show the actual apprehension. So we will play those for you. This is, again, taken from one of our in-car cameras, and it shows the assailant being taken down and apprehended by Cheektowaga police. That athletic, agile individual that was Lieutenant Tony Filipski, who effected the arrest. At this time, I guess I can take any questions you guys have.
You mentioned some minor interactions with him in the past, the most recent being in 2013.
Traffic-related.
Okay.
Traffic-related.
Can you tell us, sir, what you mentioned these people, the civilians that acted heroically. Specifically, what did they do, sir?
They intervened. They reacted. We're still getting some official statements. They were instrumental in stopping the firing. They addressed him, and took physical action towards him. I can't get into all the details right now because we're still waiting for some official statements on that. But they definitely intervened and stopped the threat.
And I understand, again, you don't have all the information, but there are reports out there that have been made public that he somehow used a car, maybe hit this guy with a car.
Captain Isbrand?
We can't confirm that he was struck by a car. There was a civilian who did have a vehicle, and he at some point approached him with his vehicle, got out, chased him around the building along with another individual until the police arrived and took him into custody.
And sir, just at the beginning, you said you can confirm or can't confirm?
I cannot.
Cannot confirm.
Right. Correct.
We're going to meet with, I'm actually going to go meet with them personally later today.
So you're saying the person with the car saw this man with two rifles, or was he carrying a rifle at the time?
He did observe part of the shooting that occurred in front of Dollar General and followed him with his car as the individual started running away.
And got out of the car?
Yes, he did. They chased him around the building where he came up towards Union Road again, which is where our officers encountered him.
Was he armed when he was apprehended by police?
He was not, no.
Was it because of the civilian that he was unarmed?
We don't know whether the weapons were dropped or, you know, they took them away. We don't have that right this second.
I know you said that you don't have a motive right now, but can you tell us if anyone he knew was inside the Dollar General or anyone he was related to?
We're still going through the statements and talking to the witnesses. You know, there were numerous witnesses to interview. So, yeah, we have not. I would say right now the picture is becoming more clear, but I can't definitively say, you know, with 100% accuracy, so I want to avoid that at this time. But a picture is coming into play.
Do you know why he was there in general? Like why?
Again, that's part of the overall picture, so we're still in the process. Again, you got to remember we're dealing with someone who is not cooperating with us. We have witnesses, you know, who are still, you know, just received treatment and been released, that, you know, primary witnesses that we haven't yet been able to interview. So there's still, again, the picture is becoming more clear, but I really don't want to go that far just yet.
Can you tell us what you do know about the sequence of events yesterday? He drove up to the store.
There was definitely, you know, he definitely arrived in a motor vehicle. He had not been there very long and, you know, and came out firing. So he was not there for a significant period of time. We know that there was some sort of conflict with a customer. We're still getting all the details with that. So there's a lot out there, and we're just trying to verify the accuracy of it all at this time, which is not always the easiest thing to do.
Do you know if he knew that customer?
We do not know that yet.
Did he drive himself there?
Yes, we believe he arrived by himself. There's no indication that anyone else was involved.
And did he ever go in the store? He just stood outside the store and started firing?
He wasn't said.
Yeah, he did. He was inside the store at one point.
With a weapon?
No.
No.
Two AR-15s, 850, you said, live rounds recovered. That seems like a lot. How concerning is that, and how much worse could this have been?
Oh, that's a lot. There's no question. You know, I said yesterday we were, it's a miracle that I'm not up here reading off the names of deceased. This was just an incredible encounter. Had it not been for these private citizens, had it not been for the rapid response of our officers, there's no telling where this would have gone. Obviously, you know, this individual was heavily armed, heavily equipped. He wore body armor. I think it's safe to assume that his intent was to do significant harm. And fortunately, we have brave citizens, we have brave police officers, and they interrupted that attack. Otherwise, I am certain, and I think it's fair to assume, that things could have gone a lot worse. You know, I said yesterday, these are the times we are living in, sadly. And you know, you look at the actions of these private citizens, and you have to fight back. You have to fight back. You cannot wait to be rescued. These people were proactive. They saw a threat. I don't recommend engaging with someone with an AR-15 rifle. I certainly don't recommend that. but just incredible bravery on the part of these individuals. They were not going to be victims. They fought back, and they took this guy out. They put a stop to it, and no words could describe their courage, in addition to our guys who were just as willing to run into the line of fire and take this guy out, and that's exactly what we did. So we're proud of our officers. We're grateful to these citizens, and they will receive recognition from us very soon. And like I say, I hope to meet with them later today and thank them personally. And like I say, you'll know who they are soon enough. And once I get the okay, we'll give you their names, and I'm sure you're going to want to talk to those folks.
What was the extent of the body armor? Just the vest?
Yeah, it was your bulletproof vest. Standard.
Should have got it.
Yeah, we did issue a picture on that yesterday.
Body armor charge speaks to his intent on what he was going to do.
Well, I mean, it's illegal to be wearing that. The exact scope of the charge, the exact specifications.
When committing
during the commission of a crime, wearing body armor is a crime. So,
what kind of ammunition did he use, and what kind else did you find in the car?
We originally thought there may have been additional weapons in the car. There weren't. So we just had the two rifles at this time. And, like I say, 850 additional live rounds.
What was the caliber of the ammunition?
Do you have that, Mike?
223? They all appear to be 223.
They appear to be 223, yeah.
Was he the legal owner of these weapons?
That's where the ATF comes in, and they do the background check on the weapons. So we don't know how those weapons were obtained. But the ATF does assist us with that, so we're in the process.
Have they given you an indication of how long that might take, that process?
It's generally not a long. If he's the registered owner, obviously it becomes easy. But if they're from another source, that'll take more time.
How old did he suspect?
He had a shoulder laceration, so we don't know how that occurred. I guess it was sewn up with a couple of stitches. So it was minor, and again, we don't know whether that occurred, during the civilian encounter, whether it occurred when Lieutenant Filipski took him down. We just don't know.
We've seen a lot of these things at the Galleria Mall. How often does the department undergo sort of an active shooter training?
We are extraordinarily proactive with that. We run live shooter drills almost annually. We've run some of the largest drills in the county. We began our active shooter program. We were the first in the county right after Columbine. In fact, I was one of the lead instructors at that time. So we have been on this since Columbine. We've done live drills at our schools. We've done live drills at the mall, in other locations. We've coordinated with other agencies. So we have been preparing for an incident like this for a very, very long time, and I believe all that preparation certainly came into play and paid off yesterday, including our dispatchers.
I'm sure it's never exactly how you prepared for it, though.
Each situation is unique, we're trained to expect the unexpected, but we don't wait. Our officers are trained. Our philosophy is end the attack. Regardless of the risk to you personally, you're going in. And that's what happened. And there was no hesitation. We were armed. We carry AR-15 rifles. You saw the officer, immediately take that, and he's running down the street with it. So we're ready to go. And, our philosophy is we're going to take you out. And we did.
What does it mean that the officer tackled the suspect instead of using weapons?
I think that is a testament to our training. Okay, they did not see this individual. This individual never displayed a weapon to them. Had he, I have no doubt, he would not be here today. They were never threatened with a weapon, so they didn't react with a weapon. They went hands-on. I think that's an incredible testament to our training and our discipline. They were not threatened. They didn't react with use of force that I think a lot of people would have had no problem with. They did what they had to do, and they performed extremely well. Discipline and training.
Can we hear from the lieutenant about his...
No. That's, I'm sorry.
What was found in the apartment that you searched?
We did go to an additional address because of the investigation. We really can't. There was evidence recovered, but I cannot release that because of the integrity of the investigation.
Can you say whether it was weapons?
I don't want to talk about any evidence that was recovered.
Talk to us about how your dispatch team played a role in that rapid response. You gave them a lot of kudos yesterday.
Yeah, they incredible. And again, in all of our training and all of our drills, dispatch, where's Paul? How many times do we run active shooter scenarios with dispatch?
We just finished the tabletop active scenario.
Yeah, we regularly. They train, again, as I spoke yesterday, we have six Dollar General stores in town, so when someone calls up and says, you know, I got to shoot, someone's shooting at the Dollar General, they know, I mean, they instinctively know that there's many locations and immediately try to narrow it down, because obviously the caller is panicking and, not giving out, be as forthcoming with the information because they're under an extreme amount of stress. And for the dispatchers to be able to sort through that information, narrow down the location, and get our cars going in the right direction, once again, they're prepared, they're well-trained, and they perform extremely well under stress.
Is there ever any confusion about who the suspect was and who the victim was?
I don't believe so. There were witnesses at the scene who were pointing in the direction of the individual Lieutenant Filipski took down. So I think we pretty much knew who it was, Lieutenant. And, there was little doubt.
Can you explain Chief Tuaga Police's involvement in just securing the local school?
That was West Seneca, I believe. Yeah, that district was in West Seneca. And, yeah, they went into their lockdown procedures immediately, but you'd have to talk to them.
Chief, how far does this?
You mentioned SAFE Act charges. Can you kind of elaborate on what this gentleman could be facing under the SAFE Act?
Fortunately, I brought Lieutenant Gerace here, who is an expert on the New York SAFE Act, because I am certainly not. So, Lieutenant, in 1,000 words or less, could you?
I just received some information that the weapon used appears to be a pump action rifle versus a semi-automatic, which would change its status under the New York State SAFE Act that was just discovered by our lab personnel. I can say that looking at the weapon in the car, it appears to be SAFE Act compliant. However, there was a vertical foregrip or a side grip attached to it, which would make that in violation of the New York State SAFE Act to possess. There's only so many features that a rifle can have, such as bayonet lugs, flash suppressors, things like that, that would make it a violation of the SAFE Act or not.
Do you know if he owned those weapons? And if, because of the type they were, he went ahead and registered them.
That's what the that's
the
part
ATF.
Of the research that we're doing now with the ATF is determining, you know, how he came to be in possession of these weapons. So that's still ongoing, where we're trying to figure that out.
So would it appear both were not SAFE Act compliant? Both.
At first glance, they both appear to be SAFE Act non-compliant. However, the one being used, I was just informed, is a pump-action weapon instead of a semi-automatic. So that would change its status as a SAFE Act violation. We'll have to research, take a look at the weapons, and research the sections of law a little more.
That's the one he actually fired, the pump-action?
It appears to be so at this point.
Pump-action is a shotgun,
right? Well, it operates like a pump-action shotgun. Apparently, the front end of the weapon is what ejects and inserts the next round out of the magazine.
Would that have to be modified by him or someone, or did he buy it like that?
It had to be purchased like that.
Chief, how far did the suspect make it before you guys were able to apprehend him, and where specifically is he taken down in this video?
It's probably from the roadside to the Dollar General store to the front entrance. It's probably like 300-400 feet, and I would estimate, Tony, maybe 100 yards down, 200 yards down from the actual store.
Along Union Road?
Yes. Yes, on Union Road.
Yes. Run-ins with him before? What kind of run-ins were there?
Traffic offenses, mostly. I believe we may have had a domestic incident involving him as well, but no criminal charges.
Do you think that the Dollar General was his destination, ultimately? I mean, he had 850 rounds in a store that had 2 or 3 people in it.
You know, it right now, because the motive is so difficult, and again, you know, he's not cooperating, so trying to figure out what the intent was is, but again, you know, when some outfitted the way he was, it's safe to assume that he was intent on doing some damage and taking lives. So, again, the motive is very difficult to establish right now.
I know the department's policy is not to comment on domestic situations. His mom, Viola, said that his wife and he were undergoing a divorce, a separation. But that domestic incident where your troops responded, was that recent?
I can't, because of the nature of the investigation, we don't want to jeopardize the integrity, and we're still trying to put, as I said, the picture's becoming more clear, but for me to confirm a detail like that right now would be imprudent for me to do that. So I'm going to refrain from doing that right now.
Was there anything in his background that you were aware of that would have prevented him from owning weapons in general?
That's part of the ongoing investigation. And again, last night, a lot of witnesses to talk to. That's first. The weapon is next. And, you know, so, yeah, all that is going to be looked into thoroughly.
How long did it take for officers to arrive on the scene, and how long did this whole thing transpire for?
Less than 4 minutes from the time the call was received. That's our closest estimation. We did. There's a lot that goes into that. I won't go into it. But we look. It looks like we were there within four minutes of the call being received. Lieutenant, I will let you speak. How long did it take from the time you got on scene to the takedown? I mean, just a matter of seconds.
Yeah, it was a short time.
Very short time.
You mentioned yesterday about the dispatcher's confusion with the six Dollar Generals. There's other stores in town. Has the department looked at ways to improving communication?
All part of the you know, when you debrief these things later, you know, you have these unanticipated circumstances, and quite frankly, that's something we never thought of before. And but the dispatcher was ready, and the dispatcher was prepared, and didn't panic, didn't become confused, and, you know, figured it out. You know, you adapt, you overcome. You're always going to be thrown a curveball, and you don't know what that's going to be, but she hit it out of the park.
How prepared do you think area businesses are for a situation like this?
Hard to say. Clearly, the guys who intervened, who worked at an establishment close by, were ready. I don't know how prepared they were, but they were ready. Certainly, corporate America companies, you know, are taking into account now and developing safety plans. We, Galleria Mall, for instance, runs annual drills, lockdown drills for this type of thing. But I think it's the responsibility of anyone who owns a business, anyone who's got employees on premise, or the public who enters, to be prepared. Again, sadly, these are the times we live in, and preparation is key. And you know, you have to protect your employees, you have to protect your customers.
Is it legal? Would it be legal to hunt him with those guns? Is that a hunting rifle?
You can hunt with 223 caliber, certain.
With the AR-15s? Or
as long as the caliber is legal for the game you're hunting, there's really no other law about the brand of weapon that you're using.
Okay.
And Lieutenant, just to backtrack real quick, the clips, were those in violation of the
safety? It appears that the magazine that was in the rifle actually used would be in violation of the SAFE Act as a high-capacity ammunition device. The magazines that were with the other weapon don't appear to be so at this time.
And can you elaborate how many casings those clips hold, and how many clips did he go through before?
I'm really not sure. It appears that the ones in the car were all 10-round or less magazines, but the one that was used, from appearances, appears to at least be, you know, it would be in violation, would be more than 10 rounds.
Was he just firing into the building? Is that what you think? Or?
There are different reports that some shots were fired into the air, but there were certainly, you know, the front of the building was bullet riddled. The windows were shot out. We know a vehicle windows were shot out that was parked close by. So he was spraying rounds. There's no question.
Did he say anything to anybody?
Potentially shot the victim.
I'm sorry.
Did he say anything while this was going on? Did
he hear anything? That I don't know. I don't know. Those are, you know, those that will come from the statements that we get from witnesses later. And again, we have to protect the integrity of the investigation. So even if he did make statements, we wouldn't report on those at this time.
It's not too often that we see you out at a scene. What was going through your head when you heard the radio call here in your office, or you got the news that this is going on?
Yeah, I'm usually behind the desk, which is a pretty safe place to be. You know, I mean, when something like this happens, you know, it just kick into high gear. I've been doing this for 30 years, so, you know, we've all seen everyone up here have been part of critical incidents throughout their careers. So, you just go on autopilot, and you know, I'm thinking, you know, how many people are hurt, and you know, I'm worried about my officers responding and getting there safely, and being okay. But as I'm going there, I know our guys are going to handle it, and I know they're going to handle it well, and they did. So I never concerned myself with that. These officers are incredible who work in the Cheektowaga Police Department, and we've demonstrated it time and again. And yesterday was the rule, not the exception. So, yeah, what goes through my head is I hope everybody's okay, and they're going to get the job done, and they did.
Before we wrap up, can we get everybody's name, spelling of their names that spoke?
Yeah, let's go right down the line, guys. Tony, start with you. You
okay?
Can speak. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Anthony Filipski, F-I-L-I-P-S-K-I.
Lieutenant?
Yes.
Correct. Assistant Chief Jim Squire.
Chief
Tech. Lieutenant Thomas Gerace, G-E-R-A-C-E.
And Captain Michael Isbrandt, I-S-B-R-A-N-D-T.
Could you spell your last name again for me, Captain?
Sure, it's I-S-B-R-A-N-D-T.
I'm sorry, to add one more. The owners of the Garden Village apartment complex just emailed me, and they say that Mr. Green was not a resident there, not a regular visitor. Any idea what his connection
is? Yeah, that is, we've kind of confirmed that he had only recently been staying there, that he's a former resident of Buffalo and just recently had been staying there with family. So, yeah, he's not a longtime resident there at all.
Is that mom's apartment?
Yeah, we're not going to, yeah, we gotta avoid that, witnesses and such.